There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Second hour of the show on a Wednesday. The way I look at it, it's almost to Friday, which, by the way, Friday and the big Labor Day weekend coming up. More on Dr. Bill's forecast for the weekend at about 1:35. And the good news is... a lot better in the tropics, a lot better right here at home. 13 years ago, of course, today, landfall of Hurricane Katrina right here on the Gulf Coast. We've got some great, great text over and calls this morning and text throughout the day about people's memory of that day 13 years ago. But we are moving on because things are quiet right now, the tropics, and it's been a quiet year. And Dr. Bill's going to keep it that way for us, and that's a good thing. All right, I mentioned before we went to the break about an event coming up in November in our area, and we'll talk more about this when it gets closer to the actual event, but at this point, it's kind of a call to folks here in our neck of the woods to get involved, and joining me to talk more about this, Elizabeth Blackburn, head cheerleading coach at Mary G. Montgomery, and also my buddy Danny Cordy, executive director for the Mobile Sports Authority. It's super regional cheer competition, and I'm going to get you close to that mic. You can pull that mic towards you, Elizabeth, there, and Danny's loud enough he can be across the room. First of all, welcome, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and let's talk about this. So it's the super regional cheer competition. What's the actual term for it here?
Yes, this is the...
And get you right up on that mic. There we go.
The first ever Alabama High School Athletic Association, the South Super Regional Cheer Competition.
Okay.
There's a South and there's a North.
Yeah, I saw that. There's like the state is split in half. We're up to what? Us up to around Montgomery?
Montgomery area, correct. And then from Montgomery up, we'll go to the North.
Okay.
And this is going to be the feeder into the state competition, which is held in Hanceville in December.
Okay, so this would be for AHSAA schools in the state.
Their cheerleaders.
Help me with this. First of all, I know you get teens involved here, so there's a lot of people be listening that know what we're talking about, but for folks like me that don't, like, cheer competition, is it, how does that work? How do you do a competition, one cheerleading squad versus another one, Elizabeth? How does that work?
There's actually two different divisions, which is super exciting for us. We started it last year, and it's called Game Day.
Okay.
And this competition is what cheerleaders do on Friday nights. They're doing sidelines.
Okay, the stuff we're normally...
Yes,
okay.
It's normal stuff. Sideline chants, band dances, our fight song, a cheer that sometimes they perform at halftime. It's super easy, and any cheerleader, any team can participate in this.
Okay.
And then there's a second division, which is called full routine. These are 2.5-minute routines, high energy, cheers, dance, and stunning or tumbling.
Okay, and this might have been, because I think I've seen some of this on television in the past, these are more like the choreo. I know it's all choreography,
yes.
Even the sideline cheers.
Very
but
choreographed,
yeah.
High music, lots of words that go over to talk about that one school, yes.
Okay, so they can compete in just one, or they need to compete in both, these
squads? You can
squads.
Compete in just one,
okay.
Or you can compete in both. It's left up to whatever school and what you feel comfortable with.
All right. So, Danny, this is coming to our neck of the woods in November. I know we'll be talking about it more then, but right now, it's, hey, time to get on board. We're trying to rally the troops here in South Alabama.
Well, Sean, first, thank you for letting us come talk
always.
To you today. This is an event we've been working on at the Sports Authority for about a year and a half with Denise Ainsworth in the AHSAA office. It's something that uh, if... if you know, you mentioned about seeing some of the cheer competitions on TV, ESPN.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's
pretty
it was,
high
yeah.
energy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very passionate group that the cheer, that the parents that follow them.
Right.
And so we wanted to kind of tap into that passion, just like we do with other sports. And again, we've been talking about this for a year and a half, and the AHSAA finally decided to go with a South and North Regional. We were fortunate enough to be awarded the bid for the South Regional at the Mobile Civic Center, actually in the arena. It will be held on November 7th. And as Elizabeth said, it's going to be very high energy, something that we're trying. I mean, if you look at the parents, the grandparents, the siblings that follow the young competitors, I mean, that's what we're in business for, to bring those people to town.
Heads in beds.
Heads in beds, exactly. And
right.
And again, the passionate following is what makes it fun for us, and what makes it good for the Mobile area, because they will follow their child to see them cheer. And it is very competitive. I mean, you might not think it is, but if you've seen those ESPN competitions, it is very competitive.
Well, I want to think about what we're going to see, because having Elizabeth in here, I mean, cheerleading coach at Mary G. Montgomery, y'all won this. And you won this in the cheer part. You told me there's two parts, the cheer part or the choreography part.
Won the choreography part. We won the whole routine, but this year we're excited to do both.
Okay.
And that's what I want to encourage, especially a lot of these South teams. You know, most of them don't travel up north.
Right.
And so this is a great opportunity for our teams here in Mobile. So I hope to see a lot of them that will get to do the game day, too.
And just as some numbers, there are 411 high schools in the AHSAA, pretty much evenly split between the South and the North. So we're looking.
But they're much better here in the South. But
that's exactly right. So we're talking about drawing from 200 schools. Now, every school does not have a cheer squad, and that's what we're trying to create, the interest by creating these kind of events. The AHSAA is doing the same thing, Elizabeth and her group. So we're trying to create that competition that will see more of the schools go ahead and put a cheer competition together and come down to Mobile, whether it be this year or next year.
Okay, so, and Elizabeth, help me, you were talking about the, I think, December?
Yes.
So what would happen? So in November, when this goes on, will there be two teams, one team come through the South Regional and then be the way? How many teams will leave here? How does that work?
See, that's what's exciting. Any team that makes a 70% on the score sheet or higher gets to go to state and compete at state. So
there could be
a ton. As long as you make that 70 or above, you get to go.
All right, so we could have groups from many high schools, many different groups of folks here traveling to go see them again in December.
Yes.
All right, so get them to travel here first. I got it, and then we'll go travel to see them in December.
There you go.
See how this works.
There you go.
So as you're talking to folks today, what about this? If there's a, if somebody doesn't have a cheer squad, they got to go through that process and get one. But if somebody knows, maybe they have a a child that's a cheerleader, maybe know somebody there. Do all the schools know about this, or should parents that are listening to us go, hey, they're having this? I mean.
Yeah, we've sent it out to all the schools. We give it to the athletic directors and the principals, and then they are supposed to pass the word on to the coaches. But, yes, if you're a parent, please ask your child, is your team thinking about competing? Has your coach talked to you about this? And if anybody has questions, they're definitely more than welcome to email me personally at Mary G. Montgomery High School. If you go on to the Alabama High School Athletic Association website, there is a tab there that you can go and look, and it gives you all the details about the competition as well.
All right, let's I have you in here. I mean, it's sure. Not often so the things I've seen on ESPN in the past, and I've seen this choreography, I don't know what, I'm going to use the wrong term, and I'm going to screw this up, but like tumbling and flipping over and all this. I don't know, flipping over is not the term, but I mean, there's certain terms for the stuff y'all are doing.
Yes, there are all different types. There's stunting.
Stunning, okay.
There's stunning and pyramids, and then tumble.
Oh, the pyramid thing, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so how high do you go in the pyramid here?
There's different restrictions depending on what grade you are and what level.
And who's on the bottom having to hold up everybody else, right?
Right.
So, I mean, but when y'all do it, how high will you go on a pyramid?
Technically, we are not allowed to stunt.
Okay.
Mobile County is groundbound. And so we're not
in
allowed
so many
to.
Ways. In so oh, many ways. God.
That's another conversation altogether.
Yes.
Wait, so y'all are not allowed to do any pyramids.
No, we are not. We are not allowed to stunt.
Can other schools? So you got to compete. Wait a second. So Mobile County Public Schools can't do the pyramid, but another school from another area could.
Correct.
Oh, that's not right. That
well,
is not right.
Depending on the actual routine and what you're in, game day, it's fine. The restrictions are very, very, for stunting, are lower. So okay. We're kind of all on the same playing field for game day. And then for traditional, we are not in the same division as them. We're in our own division for
okay.
just non-building.
Okay, good. What
yes.
about, okay, and so here will be another wrong term for something. The throwing the people
You're doing
there,
well, Sean.
I'm
You're
trying.
Doing great.
I'm trying. I've watched all this. I just don't know the terms.
That's right.
No,
the throwing people in the air
yes,
stuff.
Baskets.
Baskets.
Basket
see,
tosses.
Danny, there's a term for it. Don't laugh at me. Baskets.
Right. Oh, never.
So what about baskets? So how do you, can we?
We cannot.
Because it's groundbound.
Correct. Groundbound means we are not allowed to put
Nothing.
Anybody's weight into someone else's hands.
Okay. All right.
But Mobile County is the only school system that doesn't allow that? Is that?
Correct.
Okay. I did not know that till I walked in today.
So that's basket when you throw. But I watch this. I'm not saying y'all are, nobody's doing it here. But that's pretty amazing. I mean, we'll be, and I'm watching at the collegiate level too, be at Bryant Denny watching
yes.
and go, holy cow, you got to be strong.
There.
You
got
to be strong to launch somebody that high in there. I mean, it's just...
It's amazing to watch. Some of the things that they can do, it's amazing.
And when you train for routines, I mean, how much of this is learning, you know, obviously the routine, learning that, and how much is, just like any other high school sport, conditioning?
Every day.
Yeah. So, y'all condition just like you're doing any other sport?
We do. We start in the summer. We start in July. We learn our routines in August, and we practice every day.
And so there before you can do a routine, learn a choreography, you gotta get yourself dialed up and in shape for this.
Yes.
All right. I bet that's not the most favorite. It wasn't, in football, it was not my favorite part of the summer either when we were doing the running in the weight room and all that.
That's like, when you build it.
I know. I said, can we do stuff like where we do plays and stuff? No, later. So, all right. So once again, tell if people are wanting, number one, to come out and see the event.
Yes.
It is in November.
It's November 7th, Mobile Civic Center Arena, the AHSAA South Regional Cheer Competition. And it will be a one-day event this first time. Eventually, we hope to expand it to two. And Sean, from a sports tourism point of view,
yeah,
looking at a $300,000 to $600,000 potential economic impact for these families coming in.
Really?
It's
There's a lot. Wow.
Again, the passion, it's amazing. And that's another reason we wanted to get really involved in it and hopefully become more involved and keep it here for a little while.
Yeah, and people can come down and cheer for their favorite high school team.
There you go.
All right, and if people have not signed up yet, they can do that?
They can still go on the website. They have until October 3rd to get signed up.
All right, very good. Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate it.
Thank
Danny,
you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean, as always.
Hey, it's good times that I've learned. See, and you're making fun of me. I have no terms now. Baskets.
Not
and
that much
baskets.
Fun.
I mean, just I'm learning this stuff. All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5. We'll check in with Dr. Bill's forecast and News 5 next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Looking at this discussion back and forth while we started off the show with talking about what the markets are doing today. I think this is an interesting, like a side, like a hobby. Not like it really should be part of any investment strategy, but which company makes $1 trillion first? Have you been following that? So the Amazon versus Apple, if you had to make, which one? Market capitalization at a trillion. Who makes a trillion first? One of them, I mean, come on, they're closer. One of them is going to make a trillion first, right? So who is it? And it's kind of fun because people can, this is like one of these think the conversations we're all doing now, sports-wise, before the games get started. You know, you're saying, well, it's going to be this team that's going to win the SEC West because X, Y, and Z. And this, they're going to go in the championship because of this, and you don't know about this thing, but this other thing's going to happen. And so now there's, on the nerdy financial side, this discussion all about, you know, with Apple doing $1 trillion, and then you've got... And by the way, too, they argue that the Apple trillion, okay, you had the $1 trillion on Apple, and now they said, well, but it's not really, there's some people out there saying, well, it wasn't really $1 trillion because X, Y, and Z, I don't have the, because you got to split off the different components, but Amazon, you know, is what, $900 and something billion, but they're all one company. I don't know. So when they get, which one would you rather own? I thought that was interesting. What one, if you could own one of the, let's say somehow the, you could make the shares equivalent. I know, you know, they're not, but they could be equivalent of how many shares and all that. Which one would you own? That's kind of a fun, kind of a nerdy conversation. Also, I wanted to find out, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, what if the words are bound in the King James Bible? So saw the story about, and I'm pretty good knowing, you know, for my age, my advanced years, knowing hip-hop, knowing rap. But I was not familiar with Lil Uzi Vert. Lil Uzi, is it Vert? Is it Vert? Like green in French would be Vert, but that would be with an E. But is it Lil Uzi
Vert?
Vert. So Lil Uzi Vert, mm-hmm, said, heard the good news story from Fox News. A couple people have it here, but said, heard the good news from a spirited fan this weekend the hard way. The rapper, 24 years old, had a Bible thrown at him by a fan while performing in, I'll add this, the Nutmeg State of Connecticut over the weekend. They are the Nutmeg State.
I'm sure that the rapper that was performing in the Nutmeg State had no idea he was in the Nutmeg State.
Lil Uzi. Now, yes. Is that the size of the magazine that's in the Uzi, or what has made it Lil?
Well, rumor is he Lil? And, I couldn't name you a Lil Uzi Vert song.
That makes me feel better, because I don't know Lil Uzi.
I can tell you I have probably heard his music just listening to the tunes.
Yeah.
And I have heard that his name, Lil Uzi Vert, if you say it fast enough, it's... You know, do you remember everyone would go around saying AC/DC, they were the devil's music? Because
yes,
the AC stood for Antichrist
and devil's children. Yeah, I remember.
Well, they say, if you say Lil Uzi Vert fast enough, it sounds
then
like...
Then Candyman shows up.
They say it sounds like Lucifer, which I can't...
Oh, my gosh.
I can't put that together.
Lil Uzi Vert.
But I can tell you that his music is awful, but he is adored by preteens and teenagers everywhere.
It's just the old, you know, words will never hurt me. Well, it says Lil Uzi... appeared to have fun with the unexpected gift. He was not really as injured. Mm-hmm. It's unclear why exactly the fan felt the need to throw the good book at Uzi. Though he has dabbled in satanic imagery before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so there's a genre I don't know about, right? So some of the metal scene, and I'm a fan of a lot of metal, but there are some, there's like a subgenre where people who don't know any better would say all metal is, that's silly, that's dumb.
Yes.
That's dumb, that's inaccurate. There's some subgenre that is, like, you know, where they're, I don't know how that's going to benefit them either. I don't understand, just like why jumping on some devil train helps them. Mm-hmm. But there's a subcategory of that, but I've never heard of the rap world having any, so he's creating a new genre for himself where he is like,
yeah,
devil rap.
Yeah, he's a part of several young rappers who have like the Upside Down cross tattooed on their bodies.
Look at me, pay attention.
But they don't seem to be. Maybe it's because I can't understand some of the music. But
and you and I are both hip. I mean, even though you're even hipper than me because you're 20 years my junior, we're both hip hop fans. Rap fans.
Yeah, and what
you should hear us talking here when before the shows. I mean, we're rap fans.
What's funny is I'm finding out how true it is because my parents would say they would be listening to music when they were teenagers,
right,
and their parents would go, "Oh, what's that?
Right,
you're
sure
listening to?" The same with the Beatles. People that would listen to the Beatles, their parents would be like, "You're listening to that. I don't understand.
Can you imagine
what's going
that?
On?
I want to hold your hand."
Well, now, I'm a guy who grew up listening to lots of hip-hop,
mm-hmm,
lots of what would now... I mean, could you call early 2000s rock classic rock? Probably not.
Wait,
but I would listen to that.
Making me feel old, yeah.
And now I'm growing... growing up, and I'm like, this isn't like that old hip-hop. I used to be able to understand what they were rapping about back then. Now I have no idea what they're saying. So I've become my parents, and I still like hip-hop. I just don't understand the new stuff.
So if you've become your parents, how do you think I feel? How many times a day do I sit in here and say, well, that's just a rip-off of DMC, or that's just a rip-off yeah. of KRS-One, or that's, you know.
And you're so good with music, you know everything they've sampled. So you tell me, oh, that was a hit.
Yeah.
That what they 15 years ago.
It's funny. You'll never hear music the same way. All right, so the Lil Uzi story. Hey, Cam Marston is going to be brave and join us next right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Good to have my buddy Cam Marston in as well. Of course, you can check out the show What's Working tonight at 6 o'clock. And also, he does that podcasting thing too, so you can go back and binge listen to the show, right?
Binge listening is what it's all about. You can't get enough of this stuff. And they have that rewind button. You can yeah. hear it as many times as you want in very short bursts if you wish.
Well, the nice thing is if you have a chance to sit down, if you're traveling, doing something for work, you can stack up a couple of those podcasts and you know, get yourself caught up on the show.
I'm a podcast nut. I love to inventory them and hear them wherever I can, particularly in the car on long drives. Mm-hmm. I find them.
It's binge listen. People are talking about binge.
It's extraordinarily satisfying to be able to control that content whenever you want it. Yeah.
You make it available where? Where can they go get it?
CamMarston.com, the world's greatest website. CamMarston.com, you have the podcast link across the top of the page. That will change in the next month or so as we're redoing the website. But right now, we've got, Sean, 26 episodes up now. And it has been a thrill to get to do this. I had always said I wanted to. And something clicked, 6-8 months ago, and I said, I'm going to start. And it's been a thrill. I appreciate the support you've given me to allow to do this.
We dig the show, yeah.
I have asked you 10,000 questions, of which you've answered 5 or 6.
Five or six,
grateful for those answers. but 26 episodes, I look back on that. And now, someone like you, you've got a huge inventory, a lifelong inventory. But I'm like quite proud of my 26 episodes.
Yeah.
I had no idea what I was doing 26 episodes ago. And now I'm ready to admit publicly. I still don't have much of an idea how I'm doing. But I got 26 episodes that prove that I'm not completely lost.
Well, I doubt that you didn't know what you were doing. Because if we haven't, people hadn't listened to us before, talk about what you do. What makes you qualified to do this? I mean, you've been doing a thing to get ready for this show for quite a long time.
Yeah, it was never intended to be that way, but you're right. For the past 20 years, we've studied workplace and workforce trends, and we take that content, inform it into seminars and workshops and books and ebooks and things like that that help our customers deal with the changing workplace and workforce. We study the demographic trends, the generational trends, the life stage trends. We study who's hiring and why and what people are finding jobs. And we bring it all together, boil it all down into content that people can use. So over the past 20 years, I've been meeting people that I have reached out to feature on the show. And you're right, I didn't know what I was doing when I started this 20 years ago. But looking back on it now, it all seems very linear. It seems intentional. In truth, we were just feeling our way along, and now it all has kind of worked out in a unique way. This
yeah.
this radio gig has been fascinating and a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And, you know, you deal with somebody, your repository knowledge, dealing with so many businesses out there and their employees makes you able to see what's happening. You know, what you might have been talking about in 2007 is different in 2018.
Oh, my God.
The demands on the workforce.
People were, in 2007, people were asking, first, the economic calamity was about to happen. But people were asking what they needed to know about this upcoming generation that they were calling the millennials.
Yeah.
Who are they? What do I need
right.
to know? Sean, there's not a day that goes by that I don't address the millennial issue in some way or another. So they were a question on the horizon back then. Now it's a part of the fabric of the landscape. In fact, I had a call with a guy today that's episode will run next week, and he's talking about their challenges in finding people. And it's a regular part of every conversation these days. Yeah, it's changed dramatically.
You know, the way this dovetails in, because I want to talk about tonight's show, because you've told me in the past when describing millennials, and there's so many adjectives and so many ways to describe them, but this sense of what's right and what's just and what's fair comes into it, like more than other generations.
They've been raised in a way that A guy described it not long ago. You want to know what fair is? Fair comes to town, you ride the Ferris wheel, and you go home. That's all it is. That's what fair is. There's no such thing as fair the way you're using it. I thought that was very clever. But yeah, they've been raised in a way that's different, that highlights these types of things, equality, and no one should stand out. And that comes, those things, the charade falls off at some point, and the talented get ahead, or the hard workers get ahead. But there is an attitude of we should all be treated the same, or there's an attitude of, well, I'll give you an example. One of the challenges in many workplaces is that they often share their pay with one another. In other words, here's how much I'm getting paid, how much are you getting paid?
Yeah, like
where this was taboo.
Yeah, big time.
And
even for you and I, we're Generation Xers. It was like,
So they will go advocate for one another in some workplaces to say, we're getting paid this and he or she is not. You need to catch them up to the rest of us or something like that.
Seems so strange to somebody my age.
Unusual behavior for many people, which leads us into tonight's episode. Skip Ames is who I interview tonight. Skip is a professor at Troy University, but I met him, I want to say 6 or 7 years ago, maybe. He gave a workshop for Leadership Mobile, and I sat in on that. And he studies workplace ethics and trends, and he's been teaching this for a long, long time. He's an attorney. He was a judge advocate general in the military. He has a connection with a school in South Korea. He teaches this in South Korea. As I said, he's at Troy. And he, when I say business ethics, we're going to talk about business ethics. A while back, I'd been, all right, I'm going to look for a pillow, and I'm going to settle right. in.
It seems dry.
This sounds pretty relaxing, to say it generously. But Skip brings an energy and a verve to this conversation that I'd never heard before. He makes it very compelling. He puts you in the middle of the situation of having to make these decisions. He's found a way to teach what has historically been a dry subject in a very compelling way. And when I heard that presentation at Leadership Mobile years back, I thought, I'm going to work with this guy again. Mm-hmm. And with this radio show, it's landed in my lap. And it's a very compelling talk.
Okay, so folks in business owners, or even people that are working for someone listening tonight, take away. Give us the tease on this tonight.
There's no difference in the employee that takes the legal pad home and just never brings it back, and the one who downloads the entire company customer database the day before they resign. There's no shade of gray. Both are a breach of ethics. And it's either a yes or no, a right or wrong, or an on or off. It's not a gradation, as I would have thought. If you are willingly and knowingly abusing the ethical or defying the ethical rules of the organization, it doesn't matter the size of the infraction. It is a infraction that must be handled swiftly and to an extent appropriate to the individual. So I was shocked. I'm thinking, all right, if I'm doing business overseas somewhere and paying a bribe, that's a significant ethical violation. But if I leave the school or the workplace at the end of the day with a legal pad, you look the other way. According to him, no. Huh. You write an ethical code for your workplace. That's the responsibility of the workplace leadership, an ethical code. You write it and you back it up as needs to. So there is no shade of gray in this. And I was surprised. You would think that the size of the issue would determine the reaction. But according to him, no. It's all a willful disobeyance of the ethics to which everyone agrees to.
Because there's some high-profile cases, like you talked about, downloading all the proprietary information from a business, taking it, those big stories. But then you talk to people in retail or restaurant, they almost build in a certain amount of... there's probably a term for it.
There's a term for it. I can't think of it.
But it's almost like, they're going to steal this. As long as it doesn't get over this percentage, it's just business.
And he would say, I think his response would be, that restaurant, that retail organization needs to create a statement that is prominently displayed in the break room and back, something like that, maybe even out front for the customers to see, about the ethical rules of the organization, so that there is no gray area. People can't say, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. People can't say, I was unaware that our rules were this way. And once that statement has been crafted and everyone is familiar with it and it's posted in a place where no one can deny having seen it, it becomes the rule to which you follow.
All right, so that discussion coming up tonight, and that's going to be tonight at 6 o'clock. And then another one of your shows, too, in the past, I remember talking about this with you and listening to the show and saying, gosh, I didn't realize there was this much to succession planning for a business. I always thought, well, you know, when the parent or, you know, somebody gets there, then they hand it on to the next person down the line, the child that wants to do that, and that's just the way things are done. Or they work together, the child comes into the business and works with them, and then eventually it's handed off. It's like, that's not the best way to look at this, is it?
It's a beautiful little story. It never happens that way.
You've gave me a bunch of concrete examples of like, yeah, Sean, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work like that. And we ran that show, featured a guy named Wayne Rivers, and it was somewhat similar to in content to another show that we I featured a woman named Jeannie Thompson who works with Fidelity Investments. She talks about how to become ready for retirement. So succession planning and readiness for retirement actually are very similar in that regard, and people have to start thinking of themselves, if they're the business owner, outside of their job.
And that's hard for people. Yeah,
it's really hard. Now, we've got a nation full of baby boom generation who have created very lucrative businesses, many, many of them designed to provide services to themselves and to their peers and their colleagues. They exploded, and the services that they created were supportive of themselves and their hobbies, etc. Now they're retiring. And they've been retiring for a while, but there seems to be a crescendo just around the corner of transition of businesses. And I'm hearing it from the bankers. I'm hearing it from the financial advisors that I work with. They're trying to facilitate this as best as they can. So that show led to so many calls. People would come to me and talk about it. It was a very polarizing show in that this guy, Wayne Rivers, he didn't have much gray area in the way this should happen. And he, I would say, walk the edge of offending people. But that's what he does. He's going to make you think very clearly about this, whether you agree or disagree. You're not going to come away wishy-washy on this.
Okay, let's do this, because we're going to talk about how people can get some information they can really use on this. Coming up, an event very soon. We'll come back from the break more on this. Cam Marston, of course, you can check out the show tonight, What's Working, at 6 o'clock right here on FM Talk 106.5. And you can binge listen to the podcast, all 26, over at
Yeah, all 26. It'd be
website.
Very healthy.
Website?
Website is cammarston.com, Cammarston.com.
All right, coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Remember, check out podcast of our shows, too. Let me promote while we're doing that on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Click the link for podcast, or you can subscribe over at iTunes or Stitcher. Get it through Spotify and also the TuneIn Radio app, where you stream shows like What's Working with Cam Marston. It'll be 6 o'clock tonight. Cam in studio talking about tonight's show and an event coming up on something that before I heard your first show on this, I really didn't know that it was a thing. I just thought that people had, you know, the son or daughter comes in, they work for a few years, and mom or dad goes and retires, and the kid takes a business and keeps on trucking.
It's a thing. It's a bigger thing than I knew, and it's more complex than I knew. And one of the things that Wayne Rivers taught me, which I think is just fascinating, it's the only kingdom left in this nation is the family business. And it's typically, in the baby boom generation today, has been run by the male. Mm-hmm. And he's now, let's say, in his 70s. He maybe should have retired, but he's in his 70s, and his eyesight is failing, and his back hurts, and he can't hit the golf ball as far as he used to be. You know, his evening rendezvous with his wife aren't what they used to be.
Right.
But he walks into his workplace, and they stand up to greet him, and they bring him coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And why in the world would he leave? Why in the world is his last kingdom? That's where he's a man in full, is in his workplace. So we played this way. I interviewed Wayne Rivers, and the chatter started, and we decided to put an event on to have this conversation. There are three components to succession planning, of which we will touch on at this event, and I'll tell you the information on the event. in a moment, but it's financial. A lot of people can't leave their businesses without getting paid. And that's their sole
cash
revenue.
Flow, yeah.
They need cash flow, and they need money to live on, so they got to sell the business. Then there's the legal component of it. How do I sell it? Do I sell it to the employees? What is the structure of the legal? So we're going to talk about those two components. Is one is the accounting side. Second is the legal side. And the third side is the one that I have the affinity towards, which is the mental prep. How do I set myself in a position that I'm okay? If my identity has been my business for so long, and you're asking me to step away, son, daughter, buyer, whoever it may be, how do I get my mind right about that? If my identity is my work, and I am being asked to step away, or even I know it's time to step away. And what we learn is that the emotional components of succession planning, this identity generally of the owner, that their identity is their business. It's not their kids, it's not their family, and they probably have no hobbies. It's their business.
Right.
Trying to buy that business or inherit it from mom and dad, if that's the case, is a nightmare. So the emotional component spoils more deals than anything. And our event is going to be on Thursday, this Thursday, tomorrow, August 30th, from 3 to 4:30 is the presentation. And we'll have these three components. We'll discuss these three components, the financial, the legal, and the emotional. I've partnered with Russell Thompson Butler in Houston, and Robert Houston will be running the accounting part of the conversation. And then Todd Dennison with Phelps Dunbar, who has an expertise in succession planning, buying and selling business, will be running the legal component, and I'll be back
and
clean up.
And you're going to be talking about what you just said, the one, the stool of the leg of the stool that is problematic probably more than any, the emotional side of it, right?
The accounting and the legal is a matter of paperwork, and I don't want to diminish both Robert and Todd's expertise, but it's a matter of, and it can be very, very detailed. You want to get this stuff right.
Right.
The stuff that can't be measured on paper, the stuff that can't be outlined, is getting yourself in the mindset of stepping away. And, that's what my conversation will be. It's open to the public. Join us at 3 o'clock. Call us. And
Where's it going to be?
Oh, I'm sorry. Serta's Brewery, 600 Government Street. Serta's Brewery, they open to the public. Serta's does about 4 o'clock. So we'll have it from 3 to 4. After 4, the bar will open, and we hope the conversation will continue as we get perhaps into one-on-one conversations, into the nitty-gritty.
Okay, and that's what's interesting. So if somebody comes out tomorrow and they hear these the presentations of three legs, but then they go, hey, what about X or Y? I mean, because they may have, there may be a bunch of nuance between this business, that business.
Everyone has nuance. Every one of these businesses is going to have nuance. And that's why we'll stick around to answer their questions and open it up for them to reach out at another time to talk about their specific case. So ours is going to be a very general presentation. Everyone in the room, hopefully, it'll have some application to each of them, but the nuance will need to be discussed offline, one-on-one, in a phone call or in a meeting down the road.
I mean, this is something that if you had asked me a decade ago or more, I would have been clueless to. I would have thought that the person that owns a business would be looking forward to that day.
Yeah.
That they cash out and ride on into the sunset. But I have seen, number one, I'm starting to get a little feeling of it as a small business owner. But number two, I watch it in, the generation of my parents.
Sure.
And you talking about holding on, claws, dragging somebody out the door, even if they can make a huge lick money-wise.
Yes.
Even if the financial incentive, I look at somebody, friends of mine's parents and go, why? Take the check.
Yeah, yeah.
Take the check and go.
Take the check, get a hobby, and get out.
And they do. They will stay there.
Well, I think one of the things that I'm going to try to discuss tomorrow evening or tomorrow afternoon is you, business owner, and these guys aren't going to raise their hand. They're not going to raise their hand and say, hey, I'm a business owner who am causing trouble for my successors. No one's going to say that. They're going to say, if they say anything, my successor just, they've been around the business for 15 years and they know all the customers, but they're still not quite ready. They're going to continue, the business owners are going to continue to give reasons why it's not an opportune time for them to step aside. In other words, to justify them being there. And most all of them are going to say, yeah, I'm going to sell it to when I'm ready, or I'm going to give it to so-and-so when I'm ready. They have a very nebulous plan, but when you ask them to get specific, exactly who are you going to sell it to, when, and how are you going to value it? Oh, I don't know about that. They have a nebulous plan of how I'm going to leave, But when you ask them specifics, they're afraid to talk about it, because when you ask the specifics, it becomes real.
Right.
And when it becomes real, they realize, I don't have an identity outside of this business. I don't have a hobby. Is when it's over, it's just over, and you know, I'm going to be puttering around. And one of the interesting things we learned from one of the interviews is when a male retires, he is looking forward to spending more time with his spouse, his wife. When a male retires and you ask the wife, are you looking forward to spending time, more time with your husband? Her response is generally, no, not really.
Yeah.
Not really. We've
got to find something to direct his activities towards.
We're doing fine right now. Last thing I want is more of him. We're doing fine right now. So the you can imagine this. The business owner steps away and says, I can't wait to spend more time with my spouse. And she says, no. You know, that's not the purpose of retirement. You need to go find something to do. So one of the points of the conversation tomorrow is, how you got a 5-year runway, let's say. How do you create a life for yourself after you've retired? How do you create a purpose? And that's the key. A purpose. Once the business is sold, you need to have something to look forward to. So now's the time to begin developing a purpose outside of running the business.
Now, while they may look all different kinds of ways, you probably have a commonality in these business owners, right? I mean, you have people that have built these successful businesses do have to have a purpose. I got to guess that 99% of them are a personality that has to have a purpose.
Has to have a purpose. And I think most people have to have a purpose.
It's a little bit, the fire burns a little stronger in some than others.
If they're willing to take the risk and they've seen the success from the risks they've taken, then yes, they've got to have this purpose and they've got to have this adrenaline rush of running the business and taking the risk on a regular basis. So they've got to find something to fill that hole. And my advice will be tomorrow, you need to start on it now. Whatever that thing's going to fill, you need to begin exploring what's going to excite you after retirement. You just can't turn it off and walk out. You've got to begin this process now.
All right. I want to throw just a little plug in here for something that could be some transition for folks out there. A group I know operates in our area, SCORE.
Yeah.
And that I see doing great work because they want to still have a purpose and they have all this wisdom when it comes to business. SCORE's group, and I'm usually on the other side, I'm talking to folks who are entrepreneurs to go get with SCORE to get this real world wisdom. But on the flip side, folks like you're talking about that are getting ready to enter a new part of their life can still have that purpose, taking that information and giving it to the next generation.
To becoming a mentor, to becoming mm-hmm. a guide, an advisor, getting your thrills out of seeing someone else's success now rather than you winning it your own.
But that becomes your identity because you're the person, I mean, your identity now is making these people successful, which I think could fill maybe some of that
fill
void.
Fill some of that void. Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you keep going back to the business, and this is the stuff that causes the problems.
Yes. I'm going to keep an office there.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And there are those people all around town.
Yeah.
I keep an office there and I go in and I shuffle some papers and I still have to feel valued. But they don't do anything.
I'm not going to mention any of my friends. Yeah.
When they begin to get involved, things begin to go wrong. Mm-hmm. It's to say, you know, I'm retired. I'm out of here. I keep an office, but I noticed that sales are down in this and I'm going to take that back up. You got to step away.
This is much needed advice. Once again, tomorrow at 3?
Tomorrow, beginning at 3 o'clock. That's Thursday, August 30th, Serta Brewing, 600 Government Street. Here's the number to call, 473-5550. That's Russell Thompson Butler in Houston to put your name on the list. There's plenty of space. We got about 20, 25 people down already, but plenty of space for more. And at 4 o'clock, the bar opens. There's never anything wrong with that.
That is for sure. And once again, for podcast binging, CamMarston.com.
CamMarston.com. Across the top of the screen is the podcast link. You can go back and look at any of our 26 previous episodes, which if you have a unremarkable life, will change your life.
Love it. Tonight, 6 o'clock, what's working with that guy right there, Cam Marston. Go see him in person tomorrow out at Serta's. Thanks for being in again.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. We're going to wrap it up for today. Tomorrow, bright and early, do it all again. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Got a little bit of football with the weekend coming up to talk about, and Paul Feinbaum does that next. Speaking of football, Bo Meganson and the Auburn Tiger radio show tonight at 7. And then tomorrow night, Tiger Talk, Auburn's coaches show at 6 o'clock right here at FM Talk 106.5. And Auburn football gets kicked off at 11 o'clock on Saturday right here on FM Talk 106.5.